blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 34, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I love the Lord. His strength is mine. He is my God, I trust his grace, my fortress high, my shield divine, my Savior, and my hiding place. 34, 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you. We wish to read from God's holy word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, but first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant was not a stranger of liars, and that did cast forth their accusations against him, which were not true. O Lord, against him could come everything, but thou hast also been his shield, and the liars do speak. Oh, could it be that thou wouldest stop them in this hour? All the mouths of those that speak such lies in the life of thy children. And because Satan is a liar from the beginning, and he did lie about thee to our first parents, and he lies about thee even to this day. Oh, that thou may deliver us from all of his falsehood, and that thy true church may be given in these moments, in this hour, this blessed hour, when thou which thou dost set aside for thy church, that in this hour they may receive a little quietness, a little rest from all that which comes against them from day to day in the warfare of this life, because thou knowest that sin shall ever war against them to the last day, to the last breath, and they cannot conquer it. Oh, it is only to be conquered in thy dear Son, and they need eyes to behold it time and again. Oh, that thou may bring us, Lord, into that sanctuary, that thou may bring us into that hiding place, into that strong tower. Oh, that we may be given there to feel a little of that great comfort, of that great protection amidst all the storm and against amidst all that is able to come against thy work, oh, that thou may deliver all thy true church. Bring them forth, O Lord, in the midst of the congregation where that they are, thy own true people. For thou knowest them, thou hast begun in them, thou hast given to them a hunger and a thirst, that they do say, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. O Lord, thou knowest what thou makest this Meshech of this world unto them. They cannot find herein their pleasure and their delight anymore. Everything, all the delight in sin in this world is taken away. And what they do delight in, thou wilt make it unto them to spoil. Thou dost give them to delight in thee. Thou dost give them to long for thee, to see thy power and thy glory as they have seen thee in the sanctuary. Thou knowest those who do say it in this hour, Lord, I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. I have seen thy glory. I have seen thy power. I have seen thy Son. I have seen thy way of free and sovereign grace that has been a deliverance for my poor soul, over which there was so much protection from God himself, so that the law, so that justice, so that nothing could come against me. And Lord, I cannot see it anymore. Oh, may I see it again also in this hour, when we are called, when I am called to come to make that confession before God, oh, before all the congregation, who that he is for me, who thou art for me. Oh, Lord, who thou art willing to be for the chiefest of sinners in this world. Oh, maybe to give another hope in the midst of the congregation that may say, look, oh, see such a man, see such a woman. Oh, Lord, that thou thyself and mayest also give it to me, that thou may give these sires, could it be even the first time in the life of some in the midst of us, a holy jealousy for that portion that thou givest unto all thy people. And because it is a blessed portion, and because it is a portion that is everlasting, and that shall never disappoint, or they shall never disappointed, not herein in the world, but also now when they come to the end of their life. Although all the fears may come in their life, upon their beds, thou wilt make their bed in their sickness, thy servant did say. Lord, thou wilt do it for thy name's sake. Grant it also in the midst of us. Thou knowest the riddles. Thou knowest the questions that may be in the hearts of many in this hour. For some there are no questions. Lord, give them questions. For that some there are no struggles. Wilt thou give them struggle? Because we are sleeping upon our journey to meet thee. And we must be awakened by thy Spirit. We must be given to know that we must die and we must appear before God. And we must feel that we cannot die and appear before thee. Lord, could it be that it may be the moment of thy good pleasure to awaken us to, if it is necessary, to frighten us into that new life. But could it be also to draw us with that blessedness and that favor that thou givest to all thy people. Lord, that thou mayest remember the riddles and that are in the hearts of those who do not know their right hand from their left. Then they are born. They are born as little babes into that new life.
but they are not able to discern their right from their left. O Lord, then there is a love of thee in their hearts. Ah, thou givest it to them in their hearts. O Lord, but we know it not yet. And whether it is thy work, until thou wilt come and thou wilt reveal thy dear and only begotten Son, oh, that thou mayst so bring them unto that place where they cannot go anymore, into that place where they are stuck. Oh, that thou mayst reveal thyself, and that they might taste something of thy loving kindness, which is more than their life, that their lips might praise thee, the dear Son of God, and that their soul may be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. O Lord, then they shall know. Ah, then they shall see. And then they shall say, oh, it is he. It is he whom thy people love. Oh, it is he whom thy people praise. O Lord, grant a little knowledge in the life and an increase therein, in the knowledge of thee and of thy dear Son, whom to know is life eternal. O gather with us, Lord. Forsake us not. Remember us too. And when we are called to this work, O Lord, who is more unworthy than we are, but oh, could it be that thou may grant us also a little token, a little blessing under all the administration, and help from above to feed thy people, thy true people, and that there may be a little discernment in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, keep us from ourselves, from taking what does not belong to us, and that thou wouldest deliver us from our ignorance, from our sin, from our guilt, from our pollution, from our wayward ways, and draw us unto that narrow, that straight, and that narrow path. Hear us, O Lord. Take reasons out of thyself to bless us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 22, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How long wilt thou forget me? O Lord, thou God of grace, how long shall fears beset me, while darkness hides thy face? And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 22. Beloved congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the 61st Psalm, Psalm 61, and thereof the fourth verse, Psalm 61, verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah, so far the words of our text that speak about faith's determined resolve. First, a determined resolve to abide. And second, faith's determined resolve to trust. Thus I will abide in the tabernacle of God forever, faith's determined resolve to abide. And second, I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah, faith's determined resolve to trust. I will abide. I will trust. I will. What is that? That is David's desire. That is David's will. That is David's choice. That is the choice of the new will. That is the choice of the new heart. And that is living within him, that new life. Then it is not as if David says, I can abide or I can trust, that I am able to abide, that I am able to trust. No, he expresses what his soul wants to do and what his soul desires to do and what his soul is determined to do. So that is the same as if he would say, O Lord, let me abide. Permit me to abide and to trust. Enable me. You have a will. We all have a will. Because that will belongs to the human nature, and we are human beings. And our will, congregation, makes a choice. It chooses. Oh, you say an animal does that too, right, young people? Yeah, but that is not the same thing. And why not? Because an animal, he has his nature, and he is not contemplatively choosing with his mind, but he is instinctively choosing. That is different from us. We have our human will, and we are thinking, and we are reasoning, and we are making a choice. We make that choice based on what? We make that choice based, you say, on what is true. Oh, if it always only were so. But we make that choice actually on what we want. That is, we are making that choice according to what we, at that moment when we have to make that choice, then we are making that choice according to what our soul views in that moment to be the present good. That is what I think is good. In this moment, that is every single time that we make a choice, it is because we believe in that moment that that is the good. So what do you choose? Do you have a will that is a new will? That is the will of David, who says, I will abide. David says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. That is what his soul perceived to be the greatest good. Do you perceive the same? What does that mean? To abide. that is actually as if a person is children walking on the road, and then he is turning aside into a place to lodge. And there he is going to abide, there he is going to remain, there he is going to stay, let's say, for the night. So it speaks about sojourning. Abiding is what we do when we are a guest in the house of another. But that now also contains something about fear and about awe, as if we are in a strange place. So we read about the children of Israel, that they sojourned in the land of Egypt. They sojourned in a strange land. Thus, that was not their own land. So when David speaks here about the tabernacle, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, then he is speaking about God's house. Then that is not David's own house, but that is God's house. Thus David is not there as the owner of that house, but David is there as a guest in the house of God. And now you know that in the house of God, or in any place where we are a guest, then we are not the governor. Then we are not the one who says how things are to be ruled in that house. And that belongs unto the host. Thus we are there in that house by invitation. We are there in that house by privilege. That is for what? That is to receive. To receive something from that host. Thus David is the king. He is the king of Israel. He had much power in Israel to make decisions for the people. But David here says that he has experienced more comfort not sitting on the throne of the kingdom, not having power over other people, but he had more comfort being under government. That was when God was governing him, and that his will may simply be resigned and won with that will of God. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Not on my throne forever, but in thy tabernacle where thou art the king. God's house, there is a certain equality. Then it does not matter what status that we have in this world, because the world sees one as high and the other as low, but the Lord sees us all the same. The Lord sees each and every one by nature in that same state of wretchedness and misery. Thus, every guest that is in that house of God needs the same garment. He needs a garment. Each and every one of them needs a garment. And he is there in that house of God to receive. He is not there so much to give. You say, yes, we give the pittance of our goods, a little bit or more, or we give the pittance of our worship, maybe. But we say in our heart, what is my worship? But what are that people there for? We read of Christ that he has received gifts for men. That is, in his in his labors. And he has been victorious in his warfare against the devil. And he has received those gifts. And he gives those gifts. He distributes those gifts. And where is he distributing those gifts? He is distributing those gifts in his house. God's tabernacle is his house. That is where he lives. That is where he dwells. You say he dwells everywhere. He is omniscient. How is it then that that is God's house? That is God's house in a special way. Not because that he is not present the same outside of that house as he is inside of that house. But because inside of that house is a place that he chooses to come with his blessings, that he may distribute those blessings, that he may give those blessings unto men. Special favors. Thus there are common favors to men, and there are special favors to men. The world and the whole church, the visible church, does receive one more and one less the common favors of the Lord. But David desires the special favors. You desire them too? With how much fervor do you desire them? They are to be received. Special favors from God are to be received. Soul favors. They flow out of where? They flow out of the mediator. They flow out of the work of the mediator. They flow out of the suffering. They flow out of the death. They flow out of the obedience, the active, the passive obedience of that mediator. And then they are not distributed to everyone. No, who are they distributed to? You say they are distributed to God's elect. That is true. Who are God's elect? Well, we can read that also here. David, he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. That is now living in the heart of that elect. So we have a description, and then we can put ourselves next to this. David needed the special favors of the Lord. And why? Because of sin. He needed them because of his sin. Do you need the special favors of the Lord? Because of your sin. The Lord distributes those special favors in his house. Did you ever receive a little of that special favor of the Lord over your own sin? The more a man is acquainted with his sin, the more he desires to abide in that tabernacle of the Lord, where the Lord is distributing his favors. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. That means always. That is, we would say, as long as I live. When David lay at Mahanaim, he felt what he missed. You ever feel what you missed? I think a few years ago, then we had also to miss the house of God. Oh, did you feel at that time? And what that you missed? Because that was a great burden to David. And sometimes the Lord is taking our blessings away only to make us feel. And that we might rightly value the blessings that the Lord is giving unto us, because we are actually so dull. We do not feel. And now what does David say? And when David has brought him to the ends of the earth and cast him out from that tabernacle of the Lord, oh, David says, O Lord, if thou wilt now bring me back again, if thou wilt bring me back again, then I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. You know what he says, young people? He says, I will love it. I will love thy house. It is as if he promises the Lord that. I will love thy house more than everything else. I will love thy house more than my own house. You love God's house more than your house. He says, I will love the house of the Lord more than my house of cedar, that great house that David built. That is David's resolve. That is, congregation, the resolve of faith. You know, when faith is in exercise, then we see how things really are. Then actually we see what reality is, because when we have no faith, we don't see reality. The Bible says our eyes are blinded. Our minds are blinded. So we do not see how things really and truly are in the world and in the eyes of the Lord. And when the Lord, he gives us faith, and when a person begins to believe, the Lord corrects his vision, as it were. Oh, the Lord makes that vision right. He corrects his values, so that he sees the right things as valuable. When the Lord gives faith, then he is loosing them from something. He is loosing them from this world. And then he is showing to them the value of heaven. No, not just of heaven. But he is influencing their will. He is influencing their choices that they are choosing for the Lord. Then faith is looking further. It is looking further than the carnal house. Then faith is looking at the heavenly house. And faith is longing for this. And why? In our fall, then we have fallen away from the communion of the Lord. Do you ever feel that? Ever feel that, young people? Do you ever say, when you are lying on your bed, the evening maybe sometimes, your eyes are still open, and then you lay there, and then you say, what now was it? All that I have done today, what was it? What was the value of it? And if I continue this way all my life, what is it now going to profit me? If I'm 15 years old, how is it going to be any different when I am 90 years old, if I am spared? If I now go this way my whole life, did the Lord ever correct your vision, that you may see rightly, that you might say, oh, the Lord made me in his communion. Oh, could I only know him. Who is the Lord? Who is his son? Oh, that I could hear his voice. That he would speak to my soul. Because I am not an animal. Because I have a soul. And that I am created to live for a never, never ending eternity. Oh, God's house. That is now the place where the Lord is giving those favors, where he is speaking. But not only so, that house is also a figure. That house of God is a figure of the eternal house of God. Thus it is a figure of the eternal dwelling place of the Lord, where there is communion. What is that communion? What does the Lord say? The Lord says, I will say to them who were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. What do you think of that? Is that not communion? Communion between God and your soul. Do you ever have such communion? Such delight in God? Such desire that God would say unto your soul, I am thy salvation, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Faith's determined resolve to abide. But also in our second thought, faith's determined resolve to trust. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. A covert. What is a covert? A covert is a covering, a shelter, a hiding place. That covert that is spoken here is a secret place. David says, the covert of thy wings. What is that? Could be one of two things. We are not sure, because David could be referring to the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, we know, was the holy place and the holy of holies. And within that holy of holies was the ark of the Lord. On top is the mercy seat. And there were two cherubims. And they were looking down at that mercy seat. And their wings are overspreading that mercy seat. They are a covering. All we know, and that was a secret place. That is a place that David himself has never gone into. No, the high priest alone was permitted to come into that place. That is a place of special communion, of communion with God. Could be that David refers to this place as the covert of the Lord's wing. Could be, and that he is simply referring to a winged fowl. When such a bird is taking her little ones, her little chickens, her little chicks, her under her wings, that is now a special place also, because it is a place for her own little ones. That is a place where she is gathering them to protect them, and to keep them from every harm. We read, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is a secret place. That is a very special place. That is a place of protection, and that is a place of communion. That place is reserved. That is reserved for the true church of God. It is not reserved for the world. It is not reserved for the entire visible church. No, it is a place that is reserved, that secret place, for God's own children. By nature, we don't see any blessedness in it. Is that so this morning? That secret place of God. Maybe you say, I see a blessedness in coming to the table of the Lord. Oh, that is true. But that is not the end. That is not the purpose. No. There is a blessedness in that secret place of God. And by nature, we do not see any preciousness, any beauty. We have no desire to come under that secret protection and in that blessed secret communion. The communion with God himself. That is now what the Lord is changing. That is now what the Lord is giving. When he gives children to you a new heart. And it is already in the young heart, in that young life, in that new life, that there is coming a holy jealousy for that secret place, that covert, and that place under the wings, under the protection, in the communion of God, the covert of God's wings. David is not speaking and assigning some kind of a superstitious expectation of protection in the outward form and tabernacle of the house of God here. He is not. No, it is the substance of it. And the substance of it is a spiritual substance. It is, he calls it, the wings of God. And he did experience those wings of God also when he was laying there at Mahanaim, when he was thrust out by the Lord in his providences from everything that was external. David says, I will trust. What is that trust? That is the essence of true faith. To trust. That is actually the activity of faith. Trusting is what faith does. And by doing so, only by trusting does faith receive the blessings that the Lord is giving unto his people. Once again, David does not say, I can trust, I am able to trust. No, he says, I will trust. That is his resolve. That is his resolution. He desires it. He aims for this. So faith determines to do the work that it is made to do. What are your eyes made to do, children? Say, to see. And your eyes, naturally, they say, I will look. Because that is what your eyes are made for. They want to do what they're made to do. And your ears, you say, they hear. And so your ears say, I will listen. They are determined to do, to exercise that thing, that activity, that organ itself is made, created by God to do. And thus, when thus also faith. So faith that is made to do what? That is made to trust. To trust. And when it may trust a little, then it wants to trust more. Just like when your eyes see a little, then they want to look more, and you're looking, looking, looking. When do you look? When do your eyes say, I will look? Ah, when you say, I see something beautiful. And you're looking, looking, looking. And your ears, when do they say, I will listen, I will listen, quiet, I will listen. When they hear something, a harmony of sound that is very, very beautiful to their ear, to your ears, then they are determined to exercise the power that is given to them. When does faith now say, I will trust? When does faith say that? Oh, faith says that when it delights. When it delights, actually when it does trust. When it delights, when the Lord gives trust, when he gives a little faith in exercise, and then they say, this is so pleasant, this is so beautiful. Oh, I want to do more. I want to trust because that is the way that I receive these blessings. But even even when it cannot trust, but it remembers. It remembers. When you have seen and your eyes, they cannot see now. And he said, but now I will look. I will look because I remember what I saw. And so faith, but may remember what it has done. May remember from where that it has come, the blessings that it has enjoyed. Ah, then it says, I will trust. The bride says, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. It is because of the savor. Oh, she has tasted of that savor of his good ointments. And so his name is as ointment poured forth. And therefore she says, draw me, draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Ah, do you know what that is? We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Oh, I will trust. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know what Paul says? We which believe do enter into rest. That is now the experience of the church. The church is not a stranger of what it feels, and when it may trust. Oh, grace. Grace, congregation, is a covert. Grace is a great covering. It is a covering from the wrath of God. It is a covering that is under that divine favor, that paternal love of Christ himself. Ah, that is a secret covert. That is a secret place, a place of the children. You say, how do I know if I am a child? Oh, that is a good question. Do we ask that? Do we ask that question? Am I a child? Or how can we answer that? Congregation, that is not so simple. Because we become a child in regeneration. But when a child is born, then we cannot explain to him, and he cannot receive it yet, that he is a child. He needs to grow. So it's one thing to be a child, and another thing to receive evidences that we are a child. How may we know that we are a child? All that is, that we are not a stranger of what this means. When the Lord is bringing us into this secret place, it is a covert. It is a covert from the wind and the storm of sin, from the guilt of sin, from the wrath of God. It is the covert, it is the covering of grace, of free and sovereign grace that is found only in the Son of God, and that is only in the opening. It is only in the revealing of that Savior to the soul that we are able to experience what it means to be under the shadow of those wings. Ah, then we see it immediately. We feel it immediately. We do not know everything. There is so much to know. We can never know everything, but a child does not know everything either. But now to come and to experience what it is to be under those wings of free and sovereign grace. Ah, there a man comes through that wicked gate. There a man is protected from that Mount Sinai, which he was so fearing was going to fall on his head. When they have experienced that, then they say this, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Why? They need that grace again. You say, why do they need grace again? Oh, congregation, because life goes on, doesn't it? And because this corruption can bring forth nothing but corruption. And so every time again, to sin myself outside of everything that the Lord has given unto me, Paul says, the good that I would, I do not. He could never win a battle in that warfare. And so it is grace. Oh, it is the shadow of those wings, the wings of grace, the wings of Christ, the wings of God. And every time that needs to be opened up again. And where is the Lord doing it? He is doing it in his house. He is doing it in the institutions of the ministry of his word. And it is for that reason. And that soul is doing as David. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. There is where I have received it. There is where I will receive it again. And there is the place that I will trust in the covert of his wings. The Lord grant it also in our midst in this hour. Amen. The form will now be read for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which you can find on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them to the end, that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confined in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as, namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience in the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely, sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we, by the same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all who, by a true faith, are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through Thy Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done, as it is in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing Psalter 82, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in Thee. Since just and righteous is Thy name, from troubles set me free. 82, 1, 2, and 3. beloved congregation, a week of preparation now lies behind us. Every one of us has had that opportunity, and that command has come forth from the Lord, and that we may examine our own heart, not the heart of another. And thus also in these moments, then it is between the Lord and our soul that is to be testified in this supper. After such a week, it is now come a time that this table is opened, and therefore we do call forward those who are not strangers of that work in which the Spirit labors in the hearts of His children to give, not that a man may receive glory, not that a man may testify of his own righteousness, but that we may testify and that we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot wounds, bruises and putrefying sores, but also to testify what He has been for us. And thus we have heard it together out of God's word from the end of the earth. Will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed? And that is now in the first place. Are there those who have been so driven to the ends of the earth, and not by enemies in this world, but by the enemy of sin, and that has driven you away from God, and that you have had there to lament your separation from Him, and that you have missed the communion with Him, and that you have mourned our fall in paradise, and that you have mourned your daily departure from your Creator, and that your heart has been overwhelmed with your case. Or in the second place, do you know a little bit of what David may say, and that when he says, Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy? Or are you not a stranger of that grace that has, that does protect every one of that true church, the grace of that blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, whom He has sent into the world? Or has this been opened unto you in the smallest measure, that you might feel thereby something of that blessed sheltering of those wings of the Almighty? Do you also experience a desire in your heart to know this power again in your soul, that you do say also with David, lead me to that rock, and that higher is than I, because I am not able to attain unto it? Or do you have a desire with David to trust again, or that the Lord would show it unto you, and that you might experience once again what it is truly to trust in Him? Or that you say, I am not able to perform it. Then these, the Lord says, let me help you. Let me help you. Oh, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then I will give to you my institution. I will set before you the tokens of my broken body and my shed blood. Then I call you. Then I call you who are no strangers to this in these moments, that you may show forth the Lord's death until He come. Congregation, the Lord does not say, if you have faith, it is true, we must have faith. But if we will ask all these who sit here, do you have faith? That is not so easy to answer. You know what the Lord says? He says, do this in remembrance of me. That is now much easier for a man to discern whether they may remember, whether they may remember the protection of that shelter and what it has been to be for a moment, just a moment, in that strong tower. Are there thus any more that may not deny the remembrance of such a moment in their life? Then the table is still open and there is your place. Then we will close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sins. Selah. Selah. That is, pause. Stop. Think. Reflect. Selah. That is what David does. That is what David would have us also to do. And that is such a blessed place here where David has placed this word, Selah. The Lord's Supper is a pause. In the Lord's Supper, we stop a moment. Everything else. And I think that David also had the Lord's Supper when he was laying there in Mahanaim. Where will he have us to stop? He says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will pause. I will remember. I will remember that thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Selah. Look at what he gives. Tokens, bread, broken wine poured out. I will look. I will feel. I will taste. I will meditate. I will contemplate. I will trust. Trust. What is to trust? That is to lean. To lean. When we lean, then we have a little trust. But then all of our trust is not yet off of our own legs. It may still be true, but it is a weak trust. And then there is a falling. And there is a falling with all of our weight. And there is a casting ourselves upon him. Oh, when there may be within us rest, rest. So I will trust. Then there is also, when there is trust, a forsaking of something. And what do we have to forsake? Then it is necessary to forsake ourselves. I will forsake my own wisdom. I will not anymore think to know it. But I will lay everything in his wisdom, that I need to forsake my own strength, my ability to uphold myself, my own case, as if I am able to uphold it. There needs to be a forsaking of the strength of the legs of a man, forsaking of our own righteousness, just to say, I am vile, I am polluted, I am guilty, I am corrupt, and I will trust. I will lean, I will fall, I will cast myself, I will trust in what? In the covert of thy wings, in thy hiding place, in that shadow of a great rock in a weary land, in that shelter for me, in that strong tower from the enemy. I will trust in grace. I will trust in thee. I will trust in thy word. I will trust in thy promise. What thou hast said, because thou hast said that Christ died for the ungodly, So I will not try to base it on my godliness, but I will fall as an ungodly one upon his word of promise, that I may just rest there in his word. Or I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust in his word that says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, I will fall upon it. I will trust that this man is a prophet, and that he knows what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. That he knows that. That is good with him. That is good with him. I will trust that this man goes in to men who are uncircumcised, a heart that cannot make it clean. Oh, I will trust in his word, wherein he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Oh, that is my experience. And then he says, yet, let him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so I will lay myself there, and I will just rest there. Oh, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust in his broken body. I will trust in his poured out blood. I will trust in that protection. I will trust in that covert. And I will trust that the Father is satisfied. I will trust that the law is satisfied. And I will trust that justice is satisfied, that it is finished, and that there is nothing else that needs to be done, nothing that is able to condemn me before the righteous judgment of God. Rest, that is a fruit of trust. Oh, if we may rest just a moment, then we have evidence. And we have evidence in our own soul of the truth of trust. Selah. Selah. Blessed pause. Blessed rest. That we may receive a little strength. That the journey is not too great for us. 152. 1, 2, and 3. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. In God I rest and praise his word, so rich and free. And afterwards the communicants may return to their seat. 1, 2, and 3 of 152.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified in his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore, shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we thank Thee. We render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thine infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. And thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 17, 3, 4, and 5. Jehovah will a refuge prove, a refuge strong for all oppressed, a safe retreat where weary souls in troublous times may surely rest, in troublous times may surely rest. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 17. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.